I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, it is time for Fast Track, and it's presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it into Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, Fast Track time. Let's see. One side of the coin, John. We've got, let's just make it easy. Tonight, we've got the Lakers on one side of the coin, the Rockets on the other side of the coin. Call it in the air.
There's no way the Lakers lose this game, even if LeBron and AD don't play. I'm going heads.
Heads it is.
Heads it is. Absolutely right. What do you want to do?
I'll go first, and no okay. advantage comes with that. No. All right. Earlier this week on the Rich Eisen show on the Peacock Network, Eisen was talking to Buccaneers GM Jason Licht about Tom Brady. Listen to this exchange.
I'm going to ask you the $64 million question here. When you talked to him about extending, was there a sense that this is the last contract extension you're going to have a conversation with him? Did he give you any indication at all how long
none.
He wants to play?
I want to keep all those conversations, most of them private, but no inkling at all. I told him if he wants to play until he's 50 and he's still playing and he feels like he can still play, he can play until he's 50.
Mace, really? He's kidding, right? Can you see Tom Brady playing until he's 50? Right now he's 43. So that would be in 2028. You think there's
yes.
any way that's remotely possible?
Okay. So I actually had this same question in Fast Track. John, I have begun to believe that in the same way LeBron James has handled his body and taken care of himself and trained and worked hard, that Tom Brady is doing the exact same thing. Tom Brady is working all kinds of voodoo magic down there at his Tom Brady Institute or whatever it is, the TB12 Center. And I think it's working. Could he play at 50? You know,
no.
I don't think it's impossible.
Oh, please.
I don't think it's impossible. They're already taking him through his age 46 season. I guess it'd be his age 45 season. But he shows no signs of slowing down. He's coming off a Super Bowl victory. I wouldn't put anything. I'm done underestimating Tom Brady.
Michael, are you there?
Yeah.
Tom Brady play till he's 50?
Yes, because number one, he takes care of himself. He's always in shape. But number two, Ireland, you got to look at how they protect the quarterback these
yeah.
days. You can't hit him. So at 50, he'll still be able to throw the ball. Now, he won't have the arm strength of a Patrick Mahomes or a young Cam Newton, but he'll still be able to be accurate with his passes. So, yeah, if he takes care of himself and wants to do it, he can play till he's 50.
By
yeah,
the way,
his style of quarterback,
right.
Style of quarterbacking is conducive to him being able to do it longer.
Yeah.
By the way, right when I was judging your coin flip, saying
yes.
that the Lakers are going to win this game for
yep.
sure, LeBron tweeted that he's not playing tonight.
Oh.
So I hope I didn't put the cart in front of
oh.
the horse.
No LeBron.
He'll be
tonight.
There for the banner ceremony. I think he's going to speak at it, but he will not play.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I was excited to that, especially because it was banner night. That was going to be great. All right.
Well, it's still banner night. They're still going to do that.
Yeah, yeah, but I was hoping LeBron would play tonight. All right, the Rams.
Fast Track.
Will release their schedule today. They open up with the Bears at SoFi Stadium. The schedule we're waiting for specifically, but we actually know the home and the road opponents. John, what's your just gut hunch? What do the Rams, this is 4 months too early, what do the Rams finish next year?
All right.
Matthew Stafford.
Yep. I think they're going to be really good. I got them 11-5, winning at least a share of the division. How about you?
I've got them 12-4 and winning the division.
Wait a minute. Don't you know the 17-game schedule?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So I'll
you're
go 12. Right. I'll go 12-5. Are you going to come down to me or up to 13?
I'm going up to 13, man. I think this team is going to be unbelievable. By the way, home opponents, Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, so the three divisional opponents. Then they get the Lions, the Bears on opening night, The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at SoFi. Jacksonville, so we'll see Trevor Lawrence at SoFi, and Tennessee. The road opponents, of course, the division teams, at Seattle, at San Francisco, at Arizona. They have a game at Green Bay, a game at Minnesota, a game at the New York Football Giants, a game at Houston, at Indianapolis, and at Baltimore. So they get a matchup with Lamar Jackson. Yeah, I think that the Rams are going to win 13 games this year. That's just my 4 months too early prediction on how the Rams are going to
be.
Yeah,
very high
so
on them. I think Stafford's a huge upgrade, and I love Raheem Morris, the new defensive coordinator. I think they're going to be really good.
Morales is laughing at me. He says 13-4 is ridiculous. He's got four emojis making fun of me. So there you go. There's where Morales stands on all this. All right, it's to you.
Bobcat.
All right. It's Bobcat in honor of Jan Bergman.
Yeah.
HBO and the NFL are trying to figure out which team to feature on Hard Knocks this upcoming season. Now, there are a few rules to this. You can say no if you've been on it over the last 10 years or if you have a first-year head coach, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this year, the NFL might not have to talk teams into doing Hard Knocks because one team has volunteered to do it. You want to guess which team it is? Do you already know?
Volunteered. What about Jacksonville?
That's the one.
Oh.
Owner Shav Khan wants to raise the profile of his team. They have the number one pick in Trevor Lawrence, and they might even have Tim Tebow. Smart or stupid for the Jags to invite all those cameras in there to document Urban Meyer's first season on Hard Knocks?
I never think it's a good thing. And I don't necessarily have the history of what teams do when they're on Hard Knocks. Like the Rams were on Hard Knocks. They had a terrible year. That was the last Jeff Fisher year.
Although the Rams were on Hard Knocks last year and did good.
And did well. You're right. The Rams came back to Hard Knocks. I mean, I think it's good for the franchise. I understand why the owner wants to do it. But first-time head coach, rookie quarterback, the whole Tim Tebow Michigas. I think it's a mistake for them to do Hard Knocks. What do you think?
I will say this. Every time I watch Hard Knocks, and I think I've seen every episode over however many years they've been doing, I love that show, I end up rooting for the team that was featured because it humanizes them. You get all the individual stories, and you end up rooting for those guys. So I understand what Shav Khan is trying to do, but Urban Meyer already stepped in it when he hired that strength coach who turned out to be racist, and he had
right.
to fire him within a day.
Yep.
He may have stepped in again with Tebow. Apparently, a lot of people are mad at him for trying to bring Tebow in, and his own coaching staff doesn't want him. I have a feeling Urban is going to step in it again. He just seems like he's prone to do that. And I don't know if you want to publicize the fact that he's stepping in it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I love I'll end up rooting for the Jags if they're featured on Hard Knocks. I'm not so sure it's a good fit this year for that team.
Yep, completely agree with you.
It's to you.
All right.
Fast track.
Tommy Tuberville is a senator from the state of Alabama. He's
yeah,
a
former Auburn coach.
Football coach. So he made a statement last week that I find interesting. He says, he was talking about athletes and political stances. He said, nobody is looking for an outspoken athlete. Everybody wants to make an opinion, and that's fine, but I think a lot of these players don't understand what they're talking about. Given the fact that Tuberville was an X's and O's football coach before running for the Senate, isn't this the height of hypocrisy?
Not only that, Tuberville has embarrassed himself on multiple occasions for not, you know, just talking out of his ass.
Yes.
Like not knowing what he's saying. So, I mean, he apparently has the attitude that he'll answer any question and the phrase, I don't know, is not in his vocabulary.
So, he'll say anything.
Right. So I have zero problem with athletes using their platform to promote whatever they want. And by the way, it doesn't always work out well. I mean, a lot of people criticize LeBron for a lot of the causes he takes on, but I don't see anybody else starting a school for underprivileged kids and getting them out of the ghetto.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody else doing more than a vote or more than an athlete or doing all the things he's doing. I'm not saying he's not, it's, you know, open to criticism. You can criticize anybody you want.
He's not infallible. I mean, the tweet right. that was sent after the Columbus incident was
yeah. He ended
was
up
a
taking
bad
it.
Tweet.
He ended up taking it down.
Took it down.
But I admire anybody. Right. I admire anybody who's willing to kind of go for it. To willing to engage. Yeah, we live in a time of social justice, and I think that if you want to use your platform to promote a certain point of view, there's going to be. I think it's tonight. There's going to be a special on ESPN about what the WNBA did during the bubble.
Right.
That I think would be interesting to watch. But if you don't want to watch it and you don't want to listen to these athletes, don't listen to them. But am I going to criticize them for using their platform? No way.
absolutely not. I'm not going to criticize him. And Tommy Tuberville, who coached a lot of players in his life, should not be telling guys to shut up, which is essentially what he's doing. I mean, he came out of sports, and now he's a senator.
Right. Why can't
somebody in sports, and I would argue really intelligent people like LeBron, why can't they express themselves? I think it's really, really hypocritical and completely disagree with Tuberville. All right, it's to you.
All right, Michael, you still there?
Yeah.
All right, listen to this. Daniel Rappaport, who writes for Golf Digest, tweeted this the other day. Quote, "A little birdie tells me that next week, a group including Roger Goodell will play Pine Valley, Augusta, and Cypress Point all in the same day. They'll start at the crack of dawn at Pine Valley." That's the end of the tweet. Here's the thing. I don't think this is possible. Pine Valley is in New Jersey. Let's say he tees off at 6 a.m. and he plays really fast and he gets done at 9. Then he has to go to an airport, probably Philadelphia, fly to Augusta. That's a 2.5-hour flight. If everything goes perfect, he could tee off at Augusta, again, if everything goes perfect, around noon. If he plays fast again and he gets done by 3:30, he's got to fly 4 hours to Northern California. With the time change, he would get there around 5 p.m. Can you play 18 holes at Cypress teeing off after 5 p.m.? Do you guys think this can be done?
Well, from Philly to Augusta is about...
Two and a half.
No, an hour in a G5, G6. Those things go way faster than the...
You think you can go from Pine Valley to Augusta in an hour?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's the bit. Private jets, and you know they're doing this privately.
Oh, yeah, of course. They go on G6.
It's going to buy them the time they need?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. From, say, Augusta to... Where's the West Coast one?
Cypress, Pebble Beach.
From Augusta to Cypress, that's 3.5 hours, 4 hours at the most. Those players go a lot faster than a commercial.
Why do it? Why not enjoy each course for what it is? Why are you going to play speed golf at Augusta? I don't know.
Well, these guys have all played these
courses
before. Yeah, they just want to. I mean, they want to do something that they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be fun. That's a good challenge. And if you tee off by 4, sun goes down by 7:38.
Yeah, you can get done. Especially if the course is closed,
right?
And you know you're whipping through it.
And is it a foursome or a twosome?
Doesn't say, but I would imagine if they're going to go to all this trouble, it's got to be a foursome, right?
Yeah, you would think.
And you and Worthy in a foursome, you guys play, what, 3.5 hours with no one in front of you, Ireland?
Yeah, sometimes three.
Yeah, so yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, I think it's a long day.
I think it's a really long day. I can barely make 9 holes. I think it's a mistake.
Well,
Enjoy each course. Don't play speed golf.
There are people for charity, you know, that will do, like you give them money, like that walk I did for autism. They play 100 holes in one day. So they'll start at one course and play 18, go to another, play 18. They'll just keep playing until it gets dark. And then for every hole, you give them, you give them $1 a hole. So you give them $100 for their charity. But that happens a lot. It's to you.
All right. Bob Baffert has finally announced and released the news that they used an ointment containing an illegal substance on Medina Spirit before the Kentucky Derby. The victory was taken away or it stands.
The horse has to undergo one more test, I believe.
Right, and the test won't be done until after the Preakness.
Yeah.
Okay, so this horse is racing in the Preakness. This is what a Preakness official said. "We reached an agreement with Mr. Baffert and his lawyers that allows for additional testing, additional monitoring, essentially a watch list to ensure the integrity of the sport leading up to the race." Here's my question. Why in the hell are they letting Baffert and Medina Spirit into the race at all when Baffert has already acknowledged that he cheated and that the horse benefited from that ointment?
He said it wasn't known that it was an illegal
ointment.
He said
it was a cortisone cream that had that beta whatever
this
stuff
is like one of those sprinters from the 90s somebody put something in my water bottle.
And you got to face it, Mace, the horse racing needs to let this horse run the Preakness, because if you don't, who's going to want to watch it? You want to see if this guy has a chance for the Triple Crown.
So do you think in the end the controversy over cheating and all that stuff, is that good for the sport or bad for the sport?
Sometimes it might have to look the other way.
Yeah, maybe it's good for the sport. We wouldn't
have talked about it.
Yeah, we would not have talked about this if Bob Baffert hadn't cheated.
And just think how high the Belmont Stakes will be, the ratings if this horse wins the Preakness.
Michael, we all selected horse, like random drawing, We all selected a horse in the Kentucky Derby for Mythical Money, mm-hmm. and Mason won $18,000 in Mythical Money because he happened to have Medina yep. Spirit. If it turns out that
I
horse
keep it. I keep
gets
it.
Revoked, should Mason be able to keep the money?
That's a great question. What about people who won money on that horse? Do they have to give it back?
No. They do not.
Yeah,
they
so that said, means Mace gets to keep his too then.
John, do you know anybody that keeps their tickets after they lose?
No.
I tear them up, throw them on the ground, yeah. throw them in the garbage.
And I think if you've been paid, you're not on the hook to give it back.
Right.
Right.
So I think you get to keep it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not 100%
sure. All right, there is your fast track for today.
That's it.
Coming up next for you, John, think about this. What is the most shocking death in the history of television or movies? In other words, in the movie, on the TV show, the most shocking death. Okay. I've got a couple of suggestions coming up. And by the way, you think my Starbucks order is tough. Wait till you hear some of these other ones. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, what's going on? It's Wednesday, day after the Dodgers get a big home run from Gavin Lux and snap out of their losing skid. Big night last night because THT hit a sidestep three-pointer in overtime that gave the Lakers a victory over the New York Knicks. Now they're on the verge. John says still, what'd you say, 67% chance they're in the play-in?
Yeah, okay, so here's what you need to do. You can start scoreboard watching tonight. Let's say the Lakers win out. The Lakers play Houston tonight. They play at Indiana on Saturday. And they play at New Orleans on Sunday. And New Orleans has already announced they're pretty much mailing it in. New Orleans plays Dallas tonight. They're benching everybody. But the game you want to watch tonight is Portland at Utah. If Portland wins that game, the Lakers' chances, even if they win out, are pretty slim. Basically, what you need is either Portland or Dallas to lose two of their last three. If either one of those teams lose two of the last three and the Lakers win out, then the Lakers are the six. Any other scenario, the Lakers are the seven. Does that make sense?
Yes, Okay. Totally makes sense. Complex thinking, but it does make sense, John. It does make sense. All right, so John, I asked this question. Game of Thrones is celebrating its 10th anniversary, right? 10 years ago, Game of Thrones started. In the final episode of season one, Ned Stark lost his head. And I thought until the very last minute that Joffrey was going to call it off. But Ned got the axe anyway. I found that to be a shocker that the lead character is killed off at the end of the first season. Now for you, what is the most surprising, shocking death in a movie or television show?
The one that surprised me, and I didn't read the book, so I didn't know it was coming, was when Sonny Corleone gets it in The Godfather.
Oh, sure.
When James Caan, and it was all set up by Carlo, his sister's husband.
Yep.
And I never saw that coming, and I thought, well, wait a minute. He's like the main character in the movie. What are we doing here?
He's the guy that stands to take over the whole thing.
Right.
He was going to be the new Vito.
Right. And then they wipe him out. So
by the way, here's
what popped into my head.
What's weird about that scene, John, is that if you listen to it closely, when he pulls up at the toll booth,
there's a baseball game on, right?
It is the Giants win the pennant. It is the Russ Hodges home run to win the pennant. Bobby Thompson home run to win the pennant for the Giants. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's playing in the background of that. You know, for me, first of all, Ned Stark, I thought was dramatic as hell. For me, the most surprising one was House of Cards when Kevin Spacey threw
Kate Mara
in front of a subway train with almost no warning whatsoever. He's the vice president, I think, at that point, just shoves the reporter that he doesn't like anymore in front of a subway train came out of nowhere. It's like season 2, episode 3, bam, she's gone.
Right. Yeah, that was I forgot about that. That was when everybody was watching House of Cards.
Oh, yeah, that was a big show then. That was a big show then. Then the other one that jumps out at me is, did you ever see a movie called Deep Blue Sea?
No.
Stars Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson's one of the stars. Did you see it, Jorge?
Yeah, with the sharks, no?
With the sharks, yeah. And so they're all stuck on, I don't know, a boat or a ship that sunk or something like that, and there's sharks cruising all over the place, and they've got to figure out a way to get back to safety. So Sam Jackson, your friend Sam Jackson, is the big rallying guy. He's the leader of this group, and he's giving a great big motivational speech. And while he's giving it, a shark jumps out of the water and pulls him back into the drink. It was fantastic because you never could have expected that the shark was going to get Sam Jackson right in the middle of the movie. Spoiler alert, that's what happens, but it is a classic.
I just thought of another one.
Okay.
So at the height of Breaking Bad, I thought one of the great villains of all time was Gustavo Fring. And do you remember the bell? The guy sitting in his wheelchair ringing the bell?
Yep. And
Yeah, do you remember? It took him out.
Gustavo Fring, yeah.
Yeah, it took out Gus. And I thought, wow, they just killed off like the best villain the show's ever had. I thought that was... But, you know, a lot of people in Breaking Bad kind of went unexpectedly.
But was that shocking? Would you call that one shocking or more just awesome?
Oh yeah, Gus had never made a mistake. He had, you know, basically he was just ruthless, and they wiped him out. But there were so many things in Breaking Bad that I didn't see coming. Which is what made it great.
Breaking Bad is such a good show. I think goes down as the greatest show in television.
And by the way, Mace, isn't the Red Wedding, wouldn't that be more shocking?
The Red Wedding blew me away. Absolutely blew me away.
Yeah, no, the Red Wedding probably was the most shocking.
Okay, so here's the thing. As you guys know,
Red Wedding, by the way, is in Game of Thrones.
Right. I watched Game of Thrones after you guys did, and I had heard about the Red Wedding, and while I was watching the episode, I still didn't see it coming. And you know, because the wedding was kind of weird. It was in like a restaurant and whatever a restaurant would have been Game of Thrones time. But remember, they're all sitting around eating dinner?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that guy, Walder Frey, said, I don't think I've done enough to welcome you to the family. And then you hear Robb Stark's mom yell, Robb, it's a trap. And it was too late.
Yeah, they all got stabbed. They all got their throat slit. I mean, it was just a mess.
Ugh.
The Red Wedding was a classic. Hey, I just came across this note, John. This is really interesting. So remember Jeannie Buss was asked about, on a podcast, the All the Smoke podcast, she was asked, who are the 5 most important Lakers in history?
Yeah.
And she said, Kobe, Magic, Kareem, LeBron, and Phil Jackson.
Yeah, which I couldn't understand the controversy over it, because that, for her, from her perspective of where she sits, it's a perfectly fine list, a really good list. It wouldn't have been my list, but that I thought was a good list for Jeannie. What came up about it now?
Jerry Buss has done a podcast. I'm sorry, not Jerry Buss. Jerry West has done a podcast. Sorry about that. With Peter Vesey. And this is what he said on the podcast. I saw the other day Jeannie Buss made a statement. The 5 most important Lakers. One of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. I was there a lot of times, had a lot of success. Be curious to know if they would have had that success if I hadn't been there. And I don't take credit for stuff. I don't. When I was around, maybe I was just a good luck charm. But I do know that's when this thing fell apart. There were a lot of years when they weren't very good. Jerry West says he is, let me find the right phrase, he says it's one of the most offensive things he's ever heard being left off that list.
Okay, so here's...
He's taking this really hard.
Right,
and
well, and you know me. Jerry, by the way, Jerry would be on my list. But again, I'll make this argument that if you look at Jeannie's background, okay? So Magic has to be on her list. She was the same age as Magic.
Yep.
They came up together. She was engaged to Phil, so Phil had almost an indescribable effect on her career and how she learned the NBA.
LeBron's the first big free agent she landed.
Well, LeBron is the one who basically is more responsible for her being the first female owner in the history of professional sports, of the 4 major sports, to win a title. So I have zero issue with putting LeBron on the list. And I'm trying to think, Kobe, you know, who would be on everybody's list.
Kobe, Kareem, and Magic have to be on everybody's list. Then it gets interesting.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? Like, my list, like, I would have Chick Hearn on my list. I would certainly understand if other people didn't. Michael would probably have Magic and Kareem on his list because he played with both of them.
Don't you think Magic and Kareem have to be on everybody's list? Magic, Kareem, and Kobe are
They're on mine.
Yeah.
Well, there are four people. Since we're including everybody, non-players too, there are four people that have to be on, I would think, everybody's list. If you put a poll out there, Mace, you say, okay, call us. Call in, who's your top five? But here's my top four that you can't dispute. Okay. Dr. Buss, Jerry West, Kobe, and Magic.
Where's now, Kareem?
He could be my fifth. I put him on my fifth. Now, some people might have five different, but those are my five. If you could just include anybody, like front office, ownership, and all that stuff.
So you don't include Chick?
Over Jerry, over the Jerrys, over Kobe, over Magic, over Kareem?
Yeah, see, I'm starting to think Michael, Kareem, Chick, Magic, Kobe, and West should be locks, and the last one's a wild card.
Yeah, Chick transcended. And by the way, you could make an argument for Shaq or Elgin Baylor.
Yes, of course.
You could, yeah.
I mean, that's what makes that such a hard question.
Right. But the impact of Jerry West was not just as a player, it was as an executive.
He built the Lakers dynasty.
He built them. I mean, I don't know how can leave Jerry West off the list. I can see why he's upset.
That's why a lot of people, like some other people, might leave him off the list. And if Jeannie wants to leave him off the list, that's her prerogative. Like Ireland says, that's her list. That's her personal list. But I think the majority of Laker fans, let's put it this way, would have the Jerrys, the two Jerrys on the list.
Well, what makes this a great discussion, I've said for many, many years, Mace, that you could give me, if we had to come up with a game, if we're like Space Jam, come up with a game to save the planet. All right. If you gave me just the players in Laker history, and I had to make a 12-man team, and I gave you every other team, okay, the other 29 teams, you can take anybody in history. So you can have Michael Jordan, you can have all the Celtics, you can have Dr. J, you can have. I just with ex-Lakers could field a better team than you could. Think about it. My guards would be Magic and Kobe.
Yep.
My three centers would be Kareem, Wilt, and Shaq. My forwards would be LeBron, Elgin Baylor, and Worthy. I mean, my team would be in Anthony Davis probably wouldn't get minutes until he plays for a couple more years. I mean, that's how great the history of the Lakers are. So when you ask somebody to narrow it down to five individuals that they feel are most important. Obviously, I'm the radio play-by-play announcer. Chick's going to be on my list. Jeannie is the owner of the Lakers who just became the first female ever to win a title. Of course LeBron's on her list. And if LeBron's on her list, somebody else has got to come off. I have zero problem with anyone's personal list as long as they don't put somebody, you know, like Mike Smrek on it as a joke. You know, Michael, I'm sure there are people like in the Bahamas. I bet you DeAndre Ayton would have you on his list.
No, let's not go crazy.
No, I mean, but think about it. He's a Buddy Hield and DeAndre Ayton are little kids growing up in the Bahamas. Yeah. Until you made it in the NBA, they didn't think that was possible.
Well, I don't know about that, but they would obviously have Shaq and Kobe.
I mean, I've heard Clay talk about this. He takes great pride in the fact that you were able to make it out of there and make it to the NBA. So if you ask Clay his five greatest Lakers, you know he loves Kobe. You might make it on there because he's you're his dad. It depends who you ask.
It'd be nice if he did it, but I don't think he would do it. But no, to me, I don't know. I think if you put a poll out there for anybody, I think the two Jerrys have to be on the list.
Well, you notice Jeannie didn't even put her dad on the list.
I know. So. Well, there you go.
So, yeah. I mean, I think she would have thought that comes off as self-serving, so maybe she didn't. Well, but I had zero problem with the way she answered
I put it out there on Twitter. Jerry West is the one that had a problem with it. He says it's the most offensive thing he's ever heard. I'm surprised I'm not surprised. Jerry West is a salty guy. Are you surprised
what I'm sorry,
that he's reacting
is it
way?
On a is it on a podcast or
it's on a
did
podcast
he did
with
he say
Peter
it?
Vesey. He did
so the
say
only
it.
The biggest surprise in that is that there isn't an F word somewhere in that.
Yeah, I know. He edited himself. He says one of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. That's strong. That's strong, man. All right, John. Coming up next, we are giving away Kobe Bryant's book, The Mamba Mentality. Kobe will be inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame this Saturday. It starts at 2:30. It'll be on ESPN. And to celebrate Kobe's legacy, we're giving away copies of his book, 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. John's come up with a dumb little game to play. Plus, everybody who wins this book this week will qualify to win an autographed Kobe basketball. So 877-710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Quoting my Instagram, at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E. If you want to see my golf lessons tomorrow, I'm getting golf lessons tomorrow for the very first time as we get ready for the big showdown with John Ireland. I've got plenty of time to get ready for this because it's not until September 10th when we have our big tournament. And Derek Allen, who is generally recognized as the finest swing coach in all of Southern California, will
second
be my
finest
coach starting tomorrow. Who's
second
the finest?
No, the finest is Manolo.
Manolo.
If you haven't heard Manolo, help me out here, Jorge. Here's the type of lessons you get if you go to Manolo on Instagram.
Manis Maniacs, Manolo here. Spring break is in the past. Class is now in session again. Now, I know it is fun to waggle that and to smack that shit. And that's it, because that's what I'm teaching you. But let me explain to you now, for real, why it is so important, the waggle. All the waggle is mine right here is the previewation of the impaction at the golfing ball. And all it is the style of shot you wanting to hit. So if you want to rip one nasty perro down
nasty
there,
perro.
50 type
perro.
Things, you perro. Need to waggle. Nasty perro 350 type things. But what if you're down near the hole? You still need to waggle. You still need to put a sexual healing, like, you know, Marvin
Jaye. Sexual healing, Marvin Jaye.
Put it there like that,
Marvin Jaye.
Waggling it, a little more sexy, not so crazy. Put it there,
more sexy.
Waggle there, a little more sexy, a little more gentle, and that is what the waggle is for you. And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. So he's my backup swing coach.
Okay, good to know.
He's going to be for real.
I'd go with Manolo.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. We are we're nailing down the details. Tomorrow's my first golf lesson. I'm really, really excited.
It's all tempo, Mace. You got to get your tempo down.
Tempo. Right. Now, you must have a tough time playing golf, Michael, because you're so tall.
Yeah, I got a larger swing plane. So
there
it's
are
a lot
more ways for your swing to go wrong,
yeah,
right?
Such a large swing plane. You're right.
Yeah. I'm carrying a little extra weight. I think, you know, I'm sort of Bryson DeChambeau-y kind of build, so I think I should be able to hit it a ton.
Uh-oh. Breaking news.
What?
We reported earlier that LeBron's out tonight.
Yes.
Now AD's out.
What?
Dave McMenamin reporting Anthony Davis will not play tonight against the Rockets after experiencing tightness in his groin last night. Sources tell ESPN. So I wonder, Mace, it's obviously they have prioritized health over everything else.
Yeah.
And maybe they are content.
Yeah.
You know, just finishing where they finish. I think it sounds like it, doesn't it? Like they, I'm not saying that they're they're going to try and win tonight, obviously, but, you know, they're not placing a huge priority on trying to get to the sixth seed at this point.
Basically, they're basically going to play six games in the first round. They're going to win the first two play-in games. That's 2-0.
Well, Michael, they only need to win one to advance.
That's it?
Yep.
Then they'll play five games in the first round. They'll sweep Phoenix in four.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
They will sweep Phoenix.
Yeah,
I feel better about playing Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix has no chance against the Lakers. It's just Lakers too big and too strong. They got DeAndre Ayton, and that's it.
Now, wait a minute. Let's not rule out this scenario. Michael, do you think the Lakers can beat Houston without LeBron or AD?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Houston's horrible.
If they win tonight, I do too. I agree with you. So if they win tonight and those guys suit up this weekend, then Portland needs to lose 2 of 3. So let me throw this at you. Portland at Utah tonight. Who wins?
Utah.
Okay, Portland at Phoenix tomorrow night. Who wins?
Phoenix might be – if Utah wins tonight, is Utah locked?
No.
Okay, so Phoenix will probably win.
There you go. There's the 2 of 3 you needed, and you slide out of the play-in tournament. So it's still a possibility.
Yeah.
All right.
But, the BPI, the Basketball Power Index, says 67% chance the Lakers are the 7 that they play in the play-in tournament, and now we know no LeBron, no AD.
All right, so that's bad news. Hey, we promise we're giving away Kobe Bryant's book, The Mamba Mentality, right now.
I'm ready.
You ready? We've got a little game all teed up, and we've got callers lined up. So why don't we start with Daniel from Compton. Daniel, what are you doing, man?
Right here I was, driving to Pasadena.
Cool. All right, Daniel, you ready?
Yes, ready. Let's go.
All right. Everyone knows that Kobe Bryant has the second highest scoring game in NBA history, 81 points. If you take Kobe's top five scoring performances in the NBA and add them all up, what's the number? Closest without going over. What number do you get to if you add up his top five? Take a guess.
336.
Okay, 336.
All right, let's go to Roland in West Covina. Roland, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Roland.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good, man. A top five performances. Don't go over. Well, how many points for Kobe?
245.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Matt in Thousand Oaks. Matt, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Matt. Add them up. Five, top five. What do you get? Don't go over.
Top five, I'm going to say, let's say 246.
246.
Good
interesting
strategic play.
Play.
And now who's the next, man?
Jose in Whittier. Jose, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Jose? All right, top five Kobe scoring performances. 81's the first one. Add up the next four. What do you get?
247.
Jose, you're a smart man, and you're lucky.
Nice.
Daniel guessed 336. You know what the number was, Mace?
329.
He was only over by seven, but he went over, which means Jose, playing strategic, got it right at 247.
Good job, Jose. Congratulations. You get a copy of The Mamba Mentality, Kobe Bryant's book, on the week he's being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Plus, you're qualified to win an autographed Kobe Bryant basketball. Good luck staying on the line. All right. So,
don't hang up, Jose.
Coming up next, John, we've got Radio Tinder. How would you rate Greg's performance? He's filling for
good. Solid B yesterday.
Yeah, I'd give him a C-.
Okay.
So I'm hoping he can raise the grade.
Oh, wait
today.
A minute. I will drop him to a B- because apparently after he did it with us, he just used the same questions.
No,
yes, Sedano.
No,
I did not yesterday.
Questions on Sedano's show.
So, Greg, I was going to give you a solid B, like an 85, but now I'm dropping you to an 80.
You can do that from Monday, but yesterday they were all completely different questions.
I'm judging you for the entire
By the way, Bergman has said, there's no way I have enough time to write a game for tomorrow.
But, you know, like, by the way, I laugh at that, Greg. All right, so there's no way you have time to write a game. I had a game last night. I have a game tonight. So I basically run from this show to the game. So you don't have time, but I do.
Do you want to? We can go through in the break what each person does at every second of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, we will go through that off the air. That's you guys it. Just hash that out because I don't.
I'm happy to write a game. I like writing them.
Yeah, I'll do the game tomorrow. John, you do the game on Friday.
Done.
All right. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Bergman's going to throw some stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ES. Filling in for Lindsay, who's in Hawaii and returns on Friday. Greg Bergman is here. Bergman, what do you got?
All right. So in 2005, The 40-Year-Old Virgin came out. Oh, and that was
so
one of the funniest movies of the last 20 years, I think we can all agree. Kelly Clarkson scream was hilarious when Steve Carell got his chest waxed.
Yep.
Well, Seth Rogen, who wrote the joke, was on the Kelly Clarkson show the other day, and she expressed how people have ruined her life by screaming it at her, and he apologized and explained that he had multiple jokes lined up for that line.
Really?
Yes, and he ended this one was between burger panties and throbbing monkey tail. So swipe left or swipe right on choosing the right joke for this.
Well, anything would have worked because he's screaming in pain.
Right.
But the Kelly Clarkson thing was just out of nowhere. So it was very, very funny. There, you know, all those Apatow movies have lines like that
Kelly
you never
Clarkson!
See coming. Yeah.
Sue Kolinsky was in my friend Sue was in a Judd Apatow movie, and she says that he will just let the camera roll and tell people, try this. Try that. How about this one? And it'll like throw out jokes as they're going along.
All right, you guys have to do this if you've never done it. You have to. There's an Apatow movie called This Is 40. It stars his wife, Leslie Mann, who is really, really funny. And she's married to Paul Rudd. And Melissa McCarthy is in the movie. And at the end of it, when they roll the credits, there's one of those scenes, Mace, where they just let the camera roll. And they tell Melissa McCarthy to cuss out the principal at the school. And she MFs this principal so hard that Rudd and Leslie Mann cannot. If you, matter of fact, it's probably on YouTube. If you just type in, this is 40 outtakes or this is 40 credit ending. Melissa McCarthy is so funny and so graphically raw that Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann just lose it and they ruin the whole take. And Melissa McCarthy never breaks character. She just sits there and yells at this woman because she's mad at her about something that happened at the school. And it's so visceral and so mean and so brilliant that Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd cannot stop laughing.
Jorge, here's a challenge for you. Go find that on YouTube and bleep every single thing.
Yeah, and see if you can find like 1 minute to run. I'll look for it too, Jorge. Find 1 minute to run, and but you got to bleep out all the F words. But that's an example of what you're talking about, Mace, about how they used to do that all the time.
Yep. No, Kelly Clarkson!
It's just so random. That's what makes it funny. It's so random.
Right.
Apparently, Seth Rogen said that he was watching TV and writing. They're called alt jokes. And so he was writing these, and he saw Kelly Clarkson on TV, and he's like, ah, Kelly Clarkson. And he wrote it down.
That's a very funny bit. Sorry it follows Kelly around, but she seems to be doing okay for herself. She's been doing that talk show now for how long? Like seven, eight years.
No, not that long. That show's like 2 years old.
But I missed it, too.
Did you see that Ellen's going away?
Yeah, Ellen's going away.
Hey, come on. Hey, that was part of my game.
All right, well done.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, I'll just do that one then.
The Ellen question,
I was good. Well, Ellen DeGeneres is canceling herself. Her long-running talk show is ending in 2022 by her own doing. So swipe left or swipe right on Ellen canceling her own show.
You know what? It probably is time, and, you know, she has done it for, I don't know, 16, 17 years, right? She's been doing this a long time. I don't know how long exactly. But she really got exposed during this pandemic as being mean. All these stories about Ellen have come out about the way she treats staff and the way staff have been treated around her show, and there was a lot of negative publicity. I'm not surprised that she's walking away right now. It's probably the right thing to do. She can go be mean somewhere else.
I think, Mace, it's actually a power play.
Interesting.
And here's what I mean. That show had nowhere to go because everybody knows now that she's mean.
Yes.
So they were going to have to cancel it. I think she basically just bought herself an extra year because they probably would have canceled it this year. Now they're going to let it run through 2022.
Oh, so you think they were going to – I don't think they were going to cancel it. I think it probably still does some ratings, I would think. But, yeah, you may be right. She may have bought herself an extra year.
Yeah, could be. I just think that the gig is up on that thing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I know somebody who was working on one of Ellen's shows and got so mistreated. Ellen was so rude to them that they ultimately quit the show. So, yeah, Ellen's got a history, and now the world kind of knows about it. All right, what do you got next, Bergman?
All right, so remember when Eli Manning forced his way out of San Diego to go play for the Giants?
Sure.
Right.
Well, now he is suddenly regretting it. In an interview with Trey Wingo of Fox Sports, he said, "I didn't realize that the New York media was what it was at the time. I might have thought a little bit differently. If I knew about the New York media and how brutal it can be, I might have just said, you know what, San Diego is the right spot for me." So swipe right or swipe left on this realization.
Well, Mason and I worked in San Diego. He's right. Swipe right. We worked in San Diego, and the San Diego media is exactly the opposite of the New York media. It's like every day is a beach town
la,
there.
La, no, la.
Yeah, nobody's going to question you about anything.
Yeah.
And Mace, you worked in both markets, so you know this better than I do.
Yeah, New York is brutal. New York is brutal. I mean, if you go to New York and play, you basically have to be prepared to see your face splashed all over the back of the New York Post or the Daily News with a headline that is very, very disparaging. And they specialize in these headlines. And I think they are just brutal takedowns. So,
How sheltered did he have to be? Didn't Archie tell him how brutal it is in New York?
Well, Archie played in New Orleans.
But Archie still knew how brutal the press was. And how sheltered do you have to be not to understand what the press is like in New York City?
But Michael, do you really have a grasp of it?
Yes. I mean, and I was growing up in high school, and you see how the tabloids and how overblown and overreactive it is in New York. How could he not know that?
Channing Frye was on The Jump today, or he was on somewhere. I'm trying to remember where I saw him. He was doing an interview. Oh, he was on Dan Patrick. on the Peacock Network. And I was listening to Dan interview him, and he said, you've played all over the league. Is there a difference in media? And he goes, New York is indescribably mean. He said, I used to get booed at Applebee's. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I wasn't even, and we were like a last place team. And I was doing, he goes, New York people boo you. You know, Ben Lyons heckles at games for no reason other than to yell at people.
Yeah.
I mean, they are ruthless, man.
Here's a headline, a New York Post headline. I can't quite see the date, but it's got LeBron's picture on the back of the New York Post, and it says, welcome to New York, jackass.
There you go.
Welcome to New York. That's basically the way you're going to be treated once you get there.
I think the only athlete who might not have get killed in the New York press might have been Jeter.
Well, Jeter, yeah. And Joe Namath.
Yeah, Jeter and Joe Namath. That's a good point. When I went to New York, we were doing – I went to work at NEW, which was a classic heritage rock station. So it was like KLOS here in Los Angeles, but legendary, like the first station in the country to play the Beatles, stuff like that. And I come in, and we are making a transition from doing a morning show that's all music, just all classic rock, to a morning show that's a talk show. And the New York Post at one point got a hold of this, a guy named John Minnelli, and his headline was, The Man That Killed Rock and Roll, and it was an article about me. I was like, come on, I'm just here doing
I don't have that kind of power.
I can't kill rock and roll.
Well, you know what they say about publicity, Mace, there's no such bad thing as bad publicity.
I have that article saved, man. It's not a bad thing to have. All right, Bergman, are you done? You got something else?
I could keep going, but I'm just listening.
Do one more.
I'm listening to Jorge bleep out all this Melissa McCarthy.
I just emailed it to him. It's unbelievable.
It's so good. And just hearing Jorge laugh while he's doing it is even better.
It's one of the great acting performances I've ever seen. And by the way, none of it made the movie because Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann could not. It was supposed to be a serious scene where she was mad at somebody, and they could not stop laughing. They were laughing so hard that it wrecked the take. And Apatow was ready to kill him, but he said at the end, all I could do was put it in the outtakes. All right, Greg, do your last one.
Why don't we do this instead? Jorge, go ahead and play it.
Sorry if I'm not all fancy pants and wealthy and showing it all off with my Vidal Sassoon haircuts. Sorry. Quit slow blinking at me.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I would like to rear up and jackknife my legs and kick you both in the f-ing jaw with my foot bone. That's what I would f-ing love. I wish my f-ing foot would go right through your skull. This is what happens when you corner a rat. I will f-ing kill you. You corner me, I will f-ing chew through you. I'll chew through you. Slow blinking eyes. I will chew off your f-ing eyelids.
It's not that funny.
None of that was scripted.
I mean, I wasn't Tommy Lasorda like. Come on.
Chew off your eyelids.
Turning your mic off, man.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. You never heard Tommy Lasorda say that. I'm a rat in a corner, and I will chew through you.
My foot up your skull.
Apparently, all the script said was that Melissa McCarthy's character was supposed to be indescribably mad at the other three people in the room. And that's what she came up with.
That's funny. All right, there you have your Radio Tinder for today. Don't forget, coming up next hour, 3:45 is Game of Games. John Cota up next for you. We'll circle back to the big stories of last night. The Dodgers and the Lakers winning almost simultaneously. And if you're just tuning in, LeBron James has announced that he will not play tonight. And now the Lakers are announcing, Dave McMenamin is reporting, as I should say, that Anthony Davis will not play tonight because he has a sore groin. So, and I say, sit as much as you need, guys. Take as much time as you need until we play Golden State next week. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Slow blinking eyes. I will chew off your f***ing eyelids.